Welcome into this 5 o'clock hour of this Tuesday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for tuning in. Lots of local news to get to, but we're going to begin with state news here, since the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services shared updates today to its COVID-19 county alert system. That system, which has been released every 2 weeks or so, tracks community spread across North Carolina of COVID-19. For the second straight report, fewer counties in the state are being listed in the highest possible tier four spread, which is the critical spread level. The number in the red level dropped from 61 2 weeks ago to 27 this week, while 40 counties are in the orange range and 33 are in the yellow range. This comes as hospitalizations, which is a key metric in the system, have regularly decreased throughout the month of February, now sitting at around 1,500 people still hospitalized by the virus. Looking locally, Orange County still remains in the orange tier of the county alert system, although health officials here have said it is an encouraging sign to see the positive rate of COVID-19 tests dropping to 1.2%. Chatham County is listed in the yellow tier of community spread in the alert report, which is, again, the lowest tier. With more variants of the coronavirus around the country and world, though, some researchers are beginning to conduct experiments to see how effective masks or even a double masking technique can be against these new versions. Some of this research is happening right here at UNC as well. Dr. Philip Clapp is an aerosol toxicology expert at UNC. He recently said while double masking is proving to be effective in reducing the transmission of COVID-19, it's actually more important that people focus on the fit of their masks itself.
The data that we're sharing at this point shows that there is a benefit of double masking in terms of the fitted filtration efficiency, but I think the fit is key. So what we know about these procedure masks is that the material is very effective. There have been a lot of filtration studies looking just at the material, and it's, you know, upwards of 90% effective at filtering airborne particles. So it's a very effective piece of material. The problem is that they don't fit well to your face. So before you would concern yourself with double masking, I would say it was important. It's very important. And what we do in my home is I check my wife when she's wearing her mask, and I actually check my four-year-old daughter when she's wearing hers. So if you have someone that can check to see the gaps around your face, that's the way that you can get the most immediate benefit from even a single mask. Beyond that, if you've already done that step, you can expect to get a slight bump in the filtration efficiency by adding a second mask on top of it.
Dr. Philip Clapp, an aerosol toxicology expert at UNC, speaking there. In a different type of health news, we got word from Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools today as they continue preparing for a wider return to in-person learning at its campuses. They've had some issues with its drinking water quality. Assistant Superintendent Patrick Obley shared a message with CHCCS families and staff Tuesday afternoon. He said the district detected levels of copper and lead from a hand-washing sink at Ephesus Elementary School during a water test that is going on across all of their various pipes in CHCCS campuses as they prepare to move back into the classroom. Now, the sink in question is in a classroom that has gone almost or actually entirely unused since the school moved to remote learning last March at the beginning of the pandemic. And according to the Orange Water and Sewer Authority, the detection of copper and lead was most likely the result of nearly a full year of very little use and stagnant water in those pipes. A statement from the service agency said today it is also confident the water test does not suggest a larger issue with lead and copper across the community it serves, nor within the school facilities prior to the pandemic. Meanwhile, CHCCS says the water is safe for washing hands. Students and staff are going to be distributed bottled water to drink in the time being, though, when they do get to classrooms, and they will be encouraged to bring their own water bottles to campuses, too, as flushing procedures continue in those CHCCS pipes for the next few weeks. The Orange County Bail Bond Justice Initiative is a local project focused on community justice reform. That group recently shared its latest quarterly report, revealing an increase of pretrial detentions during the last few months of 2020. Chair of the nonprofit Kimberly Brewer spoke with 97.9 The Hill about this new report's findings and different ways that Orange County courts have altered their practices over the past year. 97.9 The Hill's Elle Karras has some of the highlights.
The Orange County Bail Bond Justice Project works to change unjust bail practices while providing assistance to those who cannot afford to pay their bail.
We think that, you know, how much money you have shouldn't really determine whether you sit in jail before your trial, because before your trial, you're still presumed innocent, right? That's the way our justice system works.
That was Kimberly Brewer, the chair of the nonprofit. She said during the pandemic, the Orange County Bail Bond Justice Project saw great progress in terms of criminal justice reform from March to mid-September.
What we saw last year was a drastic reduction in detentions and some really good new reforms adopted by Orange County.
During the county's COVID-19 lockdown from March to June, the detentions were at what the nonprofit called an artificial low.
What they said, based on anecdotal observation, this isn't any crunching of numbers on their part, they said that, during the lockdown, there were fewer people outside their homes, that law enforcement officers were interacting with fewer people, and they were only stopping people and interacting with them if it was a dangerous situation.
During the early months of the pandemic, magistrates were requiring a cash bond for fewer people than policy dictates, and judges issued no order for arrests for not appearing in court. In non-pandemic times, the Bail Bond Justice Project reports that magistrates require a secured bond or cash bail in 79% of cases involving only misdemeanors, and judges for 38% of those cases.
What we see often, in many cases, is that a person is jailed one day by the magistrate and then released the next day at their bond hearing by the judge. And even one day in jail can have a huge impact on someone's life. So we think, let's really reduce the number of people who are actually jailed.
Despite a decrease of detentions for the majority of 2020, in the last quarter of the year, the Orange County Bail Bond Justice Project saw a reversal of those trends. After the lockdown period, when the court reopened and began its normal operations, delayed orders for arrests and new orders for arrests began to be served on individuals. Looking ahead, Brewer said she hoped Orange County courts officially adopt some of their pandemic practices to keep pretrial detentions low.
But we want to go back and look at those things that were happening during the pandemic and say which of those emergency procedures could be adopted permanently if they're not going to cause any danger to our community. And we think that we showed a drastic reduction in detentions. We showed it's possible, so let's build on that.
You can read the full report or learn more about the nonprofit at ocbailbondjustice.org. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Time now for a look at our sports. We have a couple of weekly awards earned by UNC athletes to catch you up on here. The ACC announced Monday UNC point guard Deja Kelly has been named the league's Women's Basketball Freshman of the Week. Kelly scored 19 points in the Tar Heels' win over Clemson on Thursday, then led the team with 14 points during their loss at top five ranked NC State on Saturday. This means Carolina actually sweeps Freshman of the Week awards across the ACC since Kerwin Walton on the men's side won the award as announced on Monday as well. The same sweep happened with baseball and softball too. The Diamond Heels pitcher and redshirt sophomore Austin Love was named the ACC Pitcher of the Week in baseball on Monday following a terrific outing in his first career start. Love pitched six innings for the Heels on Friday in their 8-1 win over James Madison to kick off their season. During that time, he did not allow a single hit and also tied his career high with 9 strikeouts. On the softball side, fifth-year senior pitcher Brittany Pickett earned ACC Pitcher of the Week, too. It's the 9th time she has won that award during her career, and it's because she was a major part of UNC softball starting their season 4-1 over the weekend. She pitched 30 strikeouts across 4 games and only gave up 2 earned runs during her time on the mound. While softball is back in action on Friday, UNC baseball is actually in the middle of some action against Elon University right now. The Diamond Heels are up 3-0 headed into the 6th inning, currently in the 6th inning right now. They got on the board thanks to some offense from Angel Zarate and a passed ball as well. So Diamond Heels in action. You can follow along on GoHeels.com for a little bit more information on that. One last quick piece of news here in football news. The 13 newest members of the Tar Heel program have selected their jersey numbers. The class of 2021, or some members of the class of 2021, and the transfer Ty Chandler revealed their selections on social media Tuesday. Some highlights of the jersey numbers selected include quarterback Drake May taking the number 10 and five-star defensive end Keyshawn Silver taking the number 6. You can check all of those selections out and learn more about their class of 2021, the Tar Heel football class of 2021, by going to our sports section on chapelboro.com.